Welcome to another episode of the Blue Toon Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we'll be looking back on last week's Scottish Cup victory over East Kilbride, preview Saturday's trip to East Fife, and we'll hear from Jason Brown and Andy McCarthy. I'm Colin Byers, and with me once again, Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along.
Hello.
How are you this week?
I'm good, thanks. Yourself?
I'm not bad. So, Cup football, Cup action. Good to be involved. A few shocks, a few surprise results. We've made it through, which is a good thing, but I don't care if I'm going with this at the minute.
It was good to get through.
It was good to get through, as we did kind of see that there was a few shock results going through, which we could have been one of them. I think you said to me before the game that plenty of the pundits thought that if there was going to be a shock, it was going to be at Barnwell.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it wasn't. But we were made to work for it, though.
Yeah, there was a few pundits said over the course of Friday and Saturday that you're looking for a cup upset, and a few of them did say, you know, Barnwell could be the place for East Kilbride coming up. And as you said, there was a few shocks throughout Saturday and Sunday. So looking at the game that we had, as you said, we're pleased to be through to the next round, but it wasn't as convincing as what you maybe liked it to be, and I think credit to East Kilbride for that. They made us work hard, and they can probably count themselves unlucky, to be honest.
I think some folk would look at it and go, well, Peterhead's League One, East Kilbride's Lowland League, that should be a fairly straightforward, yeah. But these cup ties especially can be difficult, but I think the gap between League One and League Two and Highland League and Lowland League just seems to be getting closer and closer, especially with the top half at top half of the Lowland and Highland League teams, so it's maybe not just a big surprise that we were made to work for it by some. I think Jim did say in the week that he was expecting it to be a difficult tie, and as it proved to be.
I think looking at it from the outside, you look at the game, as you said, people probably expect Peterhead to win against a Lowland League side, but when you do your research, as you pointed out last week, they've scored a tremendous amount of goals as well, and you can see why by the way they played on Saturday. They didn't often give much away at the back either. So, as you said, we're made to work hard for it, and I think looking from the outside, folk would have perceived it to be an easier game than what Peterhead might have made it themselves to be. But just delighted to be in the next round.
Yeah, getting through is the important thing in cup football, whether or not how you get through. That is an important thing. We're into the next round, which I guess from the club's point of view, given the financial constraints over the last nearly 2 years now, extra cash coming in from a decent cup run is very welcome.
Yeah, and I also said last week that it can sort of kickstart your season again. And looking at the calendar for February, it's a busy, you know, a lot of home games as well. So you're just hoping that it gives the players that lift that you've got a Scottish Cup game as well as league form to contend with. I think it's a good. The getting through was important for the club, but I also think the players as well, gives them that confidence that also players that are on the fringe maybe want to come in for the cup game as well, and maybe work that a little bit harder. So overall, I think it was a good afternoon for everyone.
So there's two changes to the previous lineup, and Jason Brown came back in along with Grant Savory. Naya Payne dropped out when Scott Brown was missing through injury he'd picked up in training. So it was changes that it was fairly straightforward. You know, Grant came in and slotted into midfield, Jason back into defence. And got the captain's armband again. Interesting that Simon Ferry started in the back three, and it was David Wilson that played in the right wing back role this time, whereas the previous game it was Simon Ferry was at wing back.
Yeah, they convinced about Simon as a centre back. I've got to be honest, a couple of times, especially in the first half, we were sort of caught out, and it was like we seemed to be doing Simon's side. And probably East Kilbride done their research, they've realised that, you know, we're struggling defensively, Simon Ferry's gone in there, they've maybe seen that as a weak point and they've pinpointed it. Jim also had to make changes, but I think we're maybe lucky in a sense with that one.
It was interesting that Simon started out as almost as the right of the three, and then he switched to the centre for much of the game after that, which I think maybe he was a white kind of cover and allow maybe somebody like Jason to go forward, but and Andy on the left would go forward as well.
Yeah, I think we've seen that a few times in recent weeks. Andy McDonnelly does like to get forward, so you can sort of understand why he did put Simon in the centre. You know, after the game had kicked off, so I think it was a surprise to see him in the back line, but nevertheless, we got through it. And as you said, moving Simon in the centre was probably the right decision in hindsight as well.
And Ryan Duncan started up front along with Russell McLean, which was again a surprise. We know he likes to play off the right hand side. I don't think he was very effective, and we'll probably come into this a little bit later once he did move out to the right. But he didn't seem comfortable in that position up front.
It's a position that he also hasn't played much in our team with. Like, you know, he has played it a few times at Aberdeen, but not so much at Peterhead, and that'll take time. Also, it's something different for Russell as well, and it just didn't quite work, especially in the first half. There's a couple of times that the link-up play was good. It seemed to get to Ryan or Russell, and it seemed to break doing a lot of it as well. So as you said, slightly better when he went out wide, but as we'll come in a few minutes, but when he was up top, he struggled a little bit.
There is 120 minutes of football and penalty shootout to go over, so we'll maybe just gloss over rather than going into too much detail, but a few bullet points. But the visitors did take the lead in 11 minutes. The man that we'd spoken about last week, Shaw Victoria, who I believe is the competition's top goal scorer as well, opened the scoring. And fairly straightforward. I think it was a goal that they were probably looking. That's how they were going to score. It was on the break. It was on the counter.
Yeah, they were well organised. You've seen that for the first whistle. They weren't coming up to defend, but they were very resolute, very well drilled. They knew exactly what they were going to do. And I think with the pace and the strength that Yeah Victoria had, as you said, that was probably going to be their best opportunity, a counter attack. But having said that, he's picked up the ball just inside our half. He's driven, you know, the length of the half, and he's put it away nicely. It's a really composed finish.
And as you said, they defended well, but you always felt that the longer the game was going on, the deeper and deeper that they were getting. Even at that early stage, they got that early lead. You know, there's large parts of the game. Brett Long was the only one in who were half, and everybody else was getting forward. There was always that element that they were maybe inviting too much pressure on.
Yeah, I think it sort of played into their hands a wee bit. Everybody pushing forward, it made it very tight space, very congested. Although the ball went out wide, they were very quick to get it because they basically all played in one half. So it sort of maybe suited them, the fact they invited pressure on. Experienced team, well drilled. I think it sort of did play in their hands, to be honest.
And I think at one point as well, Flynn Duffy hit the bar, whether it was a cross or was it a shot or whatever it was, but he certainly hit the top of the crossbar. So there was plenty of chances being created. And just before half time, the turnaround, you know, we're actually thinking, well, we're going to go in one behind, and within a matter of 2 minutes, we're actually in the lead. So the first goal came for Russell McLean, the equaliser. It was good play. I think it was David Wilson initially won the header, and Ryan Duncan, he's kept it alive, and it was a simple tap-in for Rusty in the end.
Yeah, really, really good finish. In terms of that, it's quite easy maybe to blaze him over the bar. It's composed. But credit for Ryan Duncan as well. He's a guy that wants to score goals. It would have been quite easy for him to try and score for it. It's quite an acute angle, but you know, these guys, they want to score goals. Cup game as well. So credit to him, he's pulled it back for Russell McLean, who couldn't really miss, but you know, you still got to stick it away, and yeah, it was a good finish.
And then Andy McCarthy getting his second goal of the season, second goal of his career, with an absolute peach of a volley. It's one that he could have easily got it horribly wrong. Because it's coming down for a great height. It's also, the ball seems to be spinning as well, and he's caught it pretty well.
I think you could tell by the reaction of the crowd as well. You know, there's quite a few oohs going about, because it was one of them. You can quite easily see them being blazed over beside the buses. He's got his body over it. I think that's a crucial thing. He's got his body over it. He's kept it. I say kept it down, but it's still high into the net. No keeper saving that. It's up there with probably one of the goals of the round. Seen the highlights on Saturday, you'll struggle to find that many better goals than that on Saturday afternoon. So yeah, good finish by Andy, and as you said, the turnaround was sort of complete, and it was important because as you said, we could have been 1-0 doing it at half time, and now we've gone 2-1 up. I think the mentality of both managers, their team talks, everything's completely changed. So it was important that we went in the lead at half time.
How important was it, maybe even just to go in level, never mind just going in 2-1 up?
I think it was crucial. I really do, because I think at 1-0 down, especially against a team that are as well organised as what they were, we did have a few half chances, but I think the fact that we got ourselves on the score sheet just made things a little bit more easier for Jim at half time. Team talks a little bit more relaxed. The players can sort of ease their way back into the second half, but there's, you've done it once, you could have done it again. So I think the fact that not only have we equalised, we've also got into the break in the lead as well, I think it would have been a massive kick for East Kilbride.
And again, early goal for the visitors, 10 minutes into the second half, 2-2, Joe Vittori again. And it was just it initially came from a corner, I think, the ball played back in again at the back post, and it was knocked back in square, and he had another simple tap in, but it was just the lift that they needed.
Yeah, poor goal to concede, and the ball's knocked back across, quite a few ball watching, but I think they're all anticipating it going out. East Kilbride have tried to keep it alive, they've done that, and they've been rewarded with it by getting the goal. A bit sloppy from our point of view. You're wanting to be, even if you think the ball's going out, you've got to try and make sure you've got the right, you know, your body's looking at the ball. I think a few of them, their heads turned, but didn't really make much of a movement towards it. That's probably the frustrating part, that we've allowed them back into the game. I didn't think they were causing us too much problems in the second half. I think they were more dangerous in the first half. You've sort of allowed them in, a sloppy goal to concede, and you know, 2-2, they're right back in it.
And I think the substitutions that the Jim does make, the double change, bringing on Derek Lyle and Naya Payne, and switching to a 3-4-3, taking off David Wilson and Grant Savory, I think it was, and switching to a 3-4-3 and allowing Ryan Duncan to move back to his sort of natural position on the right hand side, just changed the game, because at that point I don't think they could have really. They knew how to handle Ryan at that stage, and he was just flying up and down that right hand side.
Yeah, credit to Jim, he's changed it. I thought Ryan, he did okay. The only thing I would say is it's a little bit predictable. He gets the ball wide, and you know what he's trying to do. He's trying to get in that left foot, he's trying to either play a pass inside or a cross. But as the longer the game went, there was two or three times he did get out the outside, and I think he was better when he did that. Because then East Kilbride didn't really care what he's going to do, but when he's on the left foot, to me it was too predictable. It's either going to be a cross come in that's easy to defend, or it was a short pass. So again, maybe just needs to switch up. I think, like I said, that he was better when he drove past, or you know, somebody overlap and he can then release the ball. But having said that, there was a couple of times that he did do well, and he's got to take credit for it.
I was going to say there was one right at the end of the game. I think it was Derek Lyle hit a header for about 10 yards out. It was one of those where he's quipped it in.
Yeah.
I think he was actually free as well. It was Dell, and he's headed it straight to the keeper. So it was one of those where, you know, if Ryan can get, you know, six or seven of those crosses in a game, we're going to score at least one or two off of those crosses.
Yeah, he's certainly got the quality. Just sometimes maybe get slightly further away from the keeper, as you said, Dell. He's right on the money. I think if he gets a better connection, if he's got the angle slightly better, then he scores, and that's a game over. But unfortunately, right to the keeper.
And I think as well, what was pivotal for us, or slightly helping us, was that Victoria went off injured with 10 minutes to go. Because I think if he was still playing and going into extra time, I think the threat of his pace on the counter-attack might have just... maybe had us coming back a little bit further, whereas we just kind of kept going forward, impressing them higher and higher up the pitch.
As soon as Victoria went off, you've seen the back line just that 5-10 yards further forward. So they realised that the threat that he had, he went off, defence pushed further up, and again just squeezed the game in the last 10-15 minutes. East Kilbride, I don't think they had much, if anything, really to write home about. Is we had a lot of the ball, a lot of the pressure. Again, there's Ryan Duncan with a cross. I think there's Andy McCarthy had a shot as well, but didn't do too much to end with a lot of the ball, a lot of possession, a lot of the ball going wide, and they didn't really cause much problems in the end.
Yeah, I think they were quite happy just to eat the time as much as they could. Yeah. You know, taking their time with throw-ins, free kicks, etc. And quite right, just making sure that they don't lose the game, that they've got that chance of the lottery. But you always felt that even in extra time, especially the second half of extra time, if there was going to be a winner, there was only going to be Peterhead that was going to win it.
Yeah, I've got to say, once Yeo Victoria went off, I did feel that was a big momentum swing. Didn't really felt they offered much after that. We, like I said, with a lot of the ball, and the longer the game went, you just felt, okay, it's still two part-time teams, but you just felt our fitness level was a bit better as well. The energy, the pressing that we had was a lot quicker, a lot sharper. And I think, as you mentioned right at the start, East Kilbride were going deeper and deeper defensively, and I think they struggled to get further forward as well. So, yeah, as you said, if there was going to be a team that won it, I did feel it would have been Peterhead in the last 15, 20 minutes.
And almost virtually with the last chance of the game, Jordan Brown had a great chance to win it. It was a brilliant ball forward, and he's, if anything, maybe he's just caught, he's outstretched it, obviously, but he's maybe just caught it too well. Maybe it's one of those where if he maybe just scuffs it slightly, it trickles in. But I think that was virtually the last opportunity. But it's like a wicked ball, and I think it was, I'm saying it's Flynn Duffy, it might have been Andy McDonald. I know it came for that far side, but it was one of those two. But it was a great ball in, and again, just one of those, but maybe a different day it might have gone in.
Yeah, as you said, you're bang on. In my opinion, he almost needs to scuff it, and it goes in. I think he's hit too well, unfortunately.
So we're going to the penalties. Andy McDonald, Andy McCarthy, Ryan Duncan, Derek Lyle, and Ross McLean all scored theirs. Very good penalties by all. We were a bit surprised that Rusty took one, considering he was on the deck for about 10 minutes prior to the first one going in with Cramp. But you know, he stepped up and slotted it home. Just the one missed penalty on the visitor's side, but hey, the guys that stepped up looked pretty confident, and they were dispatched really well.
Yeah, really good penalties. A fair bit of pressure on them as well, and it's unfortunate it's somebody to miss, rather than a keeper saving it, you know, a player's miss hit a crossbar. But as you said, the other nine penalties were, yeah, really well taken.
And he hit the bar, so he wasn't far off, but yeah, unfortunately for us, he did miss it. I thought Andy McDonald's one, the first penalty is always key, I think, but his one was one of those that he really confident in it. But just... Yeah. 6 inches higher, it's heading down the Balmore Terrace.
We've seen a few Andy's free kicks, and we've seen them go high, wide and handsome. You sort of could tell by the run-up that this wasn't going to be calmly placed in a corner. He's taking a couple of extra steps. It's one of them, even if the keeper saves it, I think he's maybe going in the back of the net with the ball. It was hitting that hard. But as you said, it was high in the roof of the net as well, a very confident penalty. Because it looks good when it goes in, but I think if that one had gone wrong, he'd have looked a bit silly. So yeah, confident penalty, and it got us off to a great start in the shootout.
Yeah, and as I said at the beginning there, it's all about getting through in these cup ties. Performance maybe doesn't really matter, but it's a cup tie. You just want to get through any way that you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the performance, hey, it wasn't brilliant, but it certainly wasn't bad. And it's just good to be in the next round of the cup, because as I said, there was a few pundits, the banana skin was going to be a Balmore this Saturday, so thankfully we've come through unscathed.
Okay, we will move on. We'll get thoughts of Andy McCarthy, but first we're going to hear from the captain of the day, Jason Brown. Okay, Jason, so through the next round, how do you sum up that game?
Yeah, I think, like I said before the game, it doesn't really matter how you get there, as long as you're in the hat of the 5 o'clock, and that was the main thing. So it was a job done on that. I mean, there was parts that we were happy about, parts that we weren't so happy about, but yesterday was all about winning. So no, it was a massive, massive, massive result for the club and the players, and no, we're delighted with it.
You were, I guess, anticipating a difficult tie. Was it as difficult as you had expected it to be?
Yeah, we know they've got really good players. We didn't underestimate them. They're on a really experienced side. So, I mean, a lot of people had it down on paper that it was going to be an easy day, but we definitely didn't know that, and it proved that way. I mean, for all the possession and chances we had, we knew that they were always dangerous, and they caught us. Caught us cold twice, which was disappointing, but it was good the way we responded. I mean, I think we could throw controlled the whole game and had plenty of chances to win it. It was just one of those days again, similar to last week, but keep plugging away and kept the hang in there, and I think we got our rewards in the end, and it was no more than we deserved.
And how crucial was the equaliser and then the bonus of the second goal 2 minutes later, just before half time?
Yeah, it was great. We were knocking on the door, we didn't really have anything clear cut. We had a few shots from range, but all the ball, but we really needed that. We got a lock maybe, and then so we got a drop of the ball from once in the box, and obviously it was there, threw it away, and then you can't take anything away from the second goal. I think it's got to be a contender for goal of the night from Andy. It's an absolutely sort of blind finish. I was right behind it, and it was just out in the top corner. So, no, that gave us real confidence going into half time. We felt we were in a really good place and could go on and get more, but it's just frustrating that we kind of left the back door open a wee bit for them to equalise. But the heads didn't go down. We kept that, kept passing, we kept trying to play our game. And it was frustrating. We couldn't get one at normal time, which we thought we should all have definitely had the chances again. So, no, we're creating these chances, which is the main thing. And we're just delighted that we managed to get through the end.
And as the game kind of progressed, even after they had equalised, as the game progressed, did you feel as though you were pinning them further and further back? And then even into extra time, it was a case of like almost everybody was well within their half at times.
Yeah, to be honest, I thought we played reasonably well. We were in control of the game, like I said. It was everything we'd planned for, we'd been pending. Apart from their two breaks, I mean, I don't think they had a corner the whole game, the manager said to us after the game. So, we were really in control, and we felt that it was only a matter of time, but we just had to keep our heads up and keep trying to do the things we were doing. And yeah, unfortunately, the goal didn't come, but then it was great character show from the boys to go and put 5 penalties away. It was, that's not easy. Some people call it a bit of luck, penalty shootouts, but we've got to take our hats off because we never gave them a chance to penalty shootout. 5 great penalties, and yeah, delighted to proceed to the next round.
Yeah, the you mentioned the penalties there. There were confident penalties that every one of them, it looks like, were unsavable.
Yeah, I think we are a team of confidence at the minute. I mean, going into penalties, I think maybe people would have been thinking that us being the favourites, we would have been a wee bit. Felt we got the pressure or whatever, but no, we've been playing well, so the boys are all confident, and we know that you see that in the penalties that were well taken. So no, it's there is plenty positives to take from yesterday. I mean the way we controlled the game, or the way the chances we had, the boys are confident right now. I think we're playing well. There's a few things we just need to dust up on in both boxes. I mean, we need to be a wee bit more tighter at the back. Sometimes I think yesterday we're a wee bit open to the counter a couple of times, which we'll work on. And then obviously in the opposition box we have chances, and when we have them we need to really start putting them away, because when we do we'll start killing teams off, and that's the way that we've been playing recently. So no, the boys are confident in that penalties. It was 5 great taking penalties, so no, there was no surprise for me that the boys stepped up and put them away with such confidence.
And that was the second game that you've been the captain. How pleased or how proud have you been to get the captain's armband for those 2 games?
Yeah, I've absolutely loved every minute of it. I've been here at Peterhead for four or five years, so to be captain is like you say, it's a great honour. I'm loving every minute of it, and the trust the manager shows me to think that I'm the man when the captain of the team fills me with a lot of pride and passion, and hopefully trying to get enough performances, and hopefully many more to come. But it's a great feeling, and hopefully many more are left to come.
Does it give you a slightly different mindset going into a game, or do you just try and play the game as normal?
I always play the game as normal, but it obviously does add a bit of responsibility. I mean, to be the captain and be the one that you try and drive the boys on, whether it's in the changing room or off the pitch or before the game or during the game when we're going through tough periods. I mean, like when we went down 1-0 yesterday, early on, it would have been easier of us to maybe curl up in a wee shell. I mean, like you said, I think everyone knows how young a team we are, but that's a few games now. We went behind in games recently and we bounced back. We need to stop giving teams a goal start, you know that, but the character we're showing is brilliant, because I think that's down to the way we're playing, and we know that if it does go against us, then we're standing up for the fight, and that kind of needs to leave from maybe the captain or the senior players, and I see myself as one of them, so it was good to see that again yesterday.
And finally then, Dundee in the next round at home. I know it's a few weeks away, but how do you see that? Was that one of the ones that you would have preferred to have had, or would you prefer to avoid it?
No, I think it's a really good draw. It's a Premiership team at Balmuir. We've got a good history of big games at Balmuir in the past. So no, it's definitely the ones we'll be looking forward to, and knowing that we'll give them a really good game and a tough game, and they won't like hopefully coming up to Balmuir. So no, it's a good draw, Premiership team, and one that we will know that if we play well, we're more than capable of winning. So it's a nice one to look forward to, but obviously back to the league action for a few weeks, and then we'll concentrate on hopefully a big push for that game coming the 12th of February.
Okay, Andy, through to the next round, how do you sum up the game yesterday?
Probably, I'm obviously going to last week, a few things in the back, but I think, on reflection, I'm happy to be through it, but there's things we can improve on. I mean, it's probably mostly at the halfway end of the park at the moment. It's just the fun to put to some things that I can see that one of the boys in, but some things that is just help you get a lucky ball forward for you.
Almost sitting in against us now. Did you find that was the difficulty that they were playing maybe 10 or 11 guys behind the bar?
Yeah, I think so. I think as well, when you get up to that kind of start as well, you go on and on, even more sitting in the middle. So you just sit looking at the banks of flow with two places just popping in on me, and the rest of the place was quite hard like that. But yeah, it's obviously a lot to do, but you need to have quality. I mean, I thought what I was going to do with it.
Talk about your goal then. How good a finish was that then? Clyde, your first goal, is that giving you a little bit more confidence now that you can get into the box and maybe take those kind of shots on now?
I had this shot before, because I'm a problem, I wanted to pass my game, and that's really good to bring it up. And that's really good to have those well in the same. So I believe they'll be happy and get a few more.
Game obviously went into the penalties, five really good penalties. How impressed were you with the finishes? Confident going into the penalties that we'd score all five? Round then, Dundee is who we've got at home. Is that a tie you fancy?
So both guys obviously delighted to get through. Both more or less saying the same thing. It was the important thing was to get through. But they both kind of picked up on the fact that that's maybe now the second or third game in a row where teams are now starting to sit in against this. It's a theme that they've picked up on. Have you noticed that as well yourself? That you know we're getting a lot of the ball, and it's now teams are almost saying it's like you break us down.
Yeah, it's, we've seen it against Clyde the other week. We've seen it against East Kilbride at the weekend as well. Teams are going to just openly open up against us, yeah, and they're going to make us work hard for it. So the guys need to find a way to you know, break a team down. It's okay if they come on to you. There's gaps that you can exploit, but it's more difficult when you've got everybody but the goalkeeper inside the opposition half. So we need to find a way to break teams down. At the moment, we've done that. Obviously, East Kilbride took the lead, sat in. Clyde took the lead, sat in. So that's a pattern as well. I guess the best way to combat that is don't give away the first goal in the game.
Yeah, and Jason said as well, about, he mentioned that you know, switching off, I think is what he said, but he also said that we need to be sort of killing teams off now as well and taking the chances.
Yeah, Jason was right. We're sometimes a lapse in concentration at the back and we're killing teams off. It's a dangerous combination. You need to try and make sure that you're doing one or the other. I think if you do both, you're going to struggle. But we've got the chance to put that right over the next couple of weeks and try, you know, get away for the bottom half, the bottom of the table, and also get through into the next round of the cup. I guess that will be a very difficult game in Dundee, but you know that's the position the guys have put themselves into. They've got themselves a really good chance to do all these things.
Andy McCarthy got man of the match for the second game in a row. How impressed were you with him on Saturday?
Yeah, he's really good. He's a good player. We've said numerous times that you know when you put him at right back, you'll lose that sort of player that he is. He's in midfield. I think he's getting better and better. I'm not touting for him for any other team, but I am surprised that you know there maybe hasn't been teams looking about or teams willing to take a punt. He has played at a higher level before, but you know, a really good player to him or team, and he's one of them players now that when he's not playing, you notice a big difference in the team. There are some players that are like for like, but I think we've got a player in the squad apart from Andy McCarthy that's like him. He's a unique player, very good.
And you notice that the more games he plays, the games he plays back to back, I should say, he gets a run of games. He seems to be getting better. He seems to be getting fitter. He seems to be getting stronger as well. So if he can avoid those needless bookings and get himself a suspended now and again, he will continue to improve if he continues on that kind of vein.
Oddly, I think if you took out the yellow card out of Andy's game, it would be a completely different player. I think that's, he enjoys that, not flying into tackles, but then sort of 50-50s, enjoys going in for them off case. Sometimes he doesn't get them and he gets a yellow card for it. But that's the sort of player that he is. He wants to win the buys, a ball winning midfielder. But he also realises that once he gets the ball, he plays it to players and gets himself in a good position. He doesn't just admire his own pass. He looks to get forward and get in the box. As we've seen on Saturday, he's in the mix and he's willing to put his body in the line to make a really good goal.
So we are through to the last 16 then. We've been drawn at home again to Dundee. Obviously, the chairman will be delighted with that. Another home tie, plenty of money coming in, providing, of course, Dundee decide to take up a big travelling support, because they're struggling a little bit at the minute. You just never know, but I would anticipate a good 2,500 at least anyway. Out with the teams that we could have gotten, or the potential ties we could have gotten, does this one fall into a winnable one, or is this a big tie, or is it right in between?
It's slap bang in the middle. I wouldn't say that it's exactly the glamour tie that many people looking at the teams that you could have got. If you consider you've got, you know, Rangers, Celtic, Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs. But on the flip side, you know, it's maybe one of the games, as you said, Dundee strong at the bottom, near the bottom of the table. Are they going to want to put out a full strength team in a couple of weeks' time to play Peterhead? They might rest players. It could be a great opportunity. So to me, it's not a glamour tie, but it's certainly a tricky tie, and it wouldn't be quite the winnable one that you'd maybe hoped for.
Yeah, they've prior to the cup win on Saturday, they'd lost six in a row in the league, so they are, you know, on a poor bit of form. Obviously, the next round's in 3 weeks' time, so a lot can change. They are playing Saturday midweek because of the shutdown in the Premier League, so that might come in as a factor as they approach the 12th of February.
I think it'll also depend on the fixtures that they've got on the Wednesday prior and after the cup game as well. You know, if it's teams round about, then they might just decide they're not overly worried about the Scottish Cup. Again, it'd be a great opportunity for us. Also, there's a few Dundee lads that became particularly well for their time at Peterhead, so I think it should be a tasty affair.
Ties between the two sides already in the League Cup, none in the Scottish Cup, so it'll be a historic game. Obviously, we'll cover that slightly in more depth as we approach that game. One other bit of news this week, Rico Katongo has joined from Airdrie after leaving Airdrie, I should say. Spent a matter of months at Airdrie, but prior to that, had 2 years at Dumbarton. 50-odd games in League One, so plenty of experience at this level, even at 22.
Yeah, I think he'll be a really good signing. Natural left-footed as well, can play at left-back. Takes a lot of the boxes that I think it's maybe a weaker area of our team. And again, that might allow Flynn Duffy just to move slightly further forward, who has been good since he's come in. So, yeah, good signing, and I think he'll do well.
Yeah, he's obviously been playing left back or left wing. It'd be interesting to see where he does slot in, whether or not he does play left back, or maybe can he play right wing back? You never know. Or can Flynn play over there? It'll be interesting to see how he fits in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it sort of fits into that category of Jim signing players that are versatile. They can play more than one position. To me, it's a really good signing. You know, naturally, as I say, left footed, can play along the left back, left wing, cover a few different positions. So, yeah, good age as well. Brings a bit of experience, even as you said, at the age of 22, he's still got over 50 games in League One. To me, it's a really good signing.
And we'll remember his dad as well. Do you remember his dad? Hamilton was his team. Jose Katongo.
Jose Katongo. I knew the player, but I thought he was St Mirren.
I'm old enough to remember, so that's another issue. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll wish him well. Hopefully, he puts in the performances, and looking forward to seeing Rico in a Peterhead shirt. Move on to Saturday's game, which he may well make his debut in, is a trip to East Fife. It's becoming a bit of a bogey side. Has East Fife just one win in their last five visits doing there?
Yeah, I think we got beat 3-0 last time, didn't we? All goals in the second half. I think it was poor that day. want to sugarcoat. I think we've got to win. We said a couple of weeks ago that we had three favourable games and we got 5 points out of nine. That I felt that whilst you're picking up points and you're getting draws, they could come back to bite you if you didn't pick up wins. And this, to me, falls in that category. Okay, you could get a point and you could look well, you're still, you know, clear at the bottom, but you need to pick up wins. And I'll put that game on Saturday coming as one of them games. To me, it's now one of them that, oh, didn't I lose the game? Let's go and be ambitious. Let's go and win the game and, you know, get the 3 points and just ease any worries about finishing bottom.
Yeah, we are 10 points clear of them at the moment with a game in hand as well. So there is an opportunity to get that gap up to 13 with that game in hand as well.
Yeah, but as we've seen in previous seasons, there is always that one team that just slowly drifts towards the bottom of the table with the relegation playoff. We do want to be that team. I know it's 10 points at the moment, but, you know, let's go and make it 13 by game in hand, be in a really comfortable position, and put the pressure on other teams around about us if you get that win on Saturday.
As you mentioned, it was 3-0 the last time doing there. It was a funny one because we felt as though that, you know, you look at the scoreline, it was a poor result, but we more or less sort of battered them off the park, as some would have said as well. And it also goes back to what Jason was saying in his audio there about killing teams off, taking those chances. If we fail to do that again, the possibility that this might happen.
Yeah, and the flip side is also we're 10 points now, but that gap come 5 o'clock Saturday could be 7 points, and these 5 are right back in it, and they'll fail and get out of it. So I think it's an important game. We've got to start well. And as Jason said in his audio, we need to cut out the silly mistakes that are happening, just sort of keep them back in from time to time. And this is not a game that you want to give, you know, you don't want to give Fife an early goal and give them their tails up. You've mentioned that numerous times over the last couple of seasons. We'll go away and at a biggish game we concede early on. You know, you need to cut that out as well.
And they have changed their manager already prior to the last game up here when they drew 1-1. Stevie Crawford's come in. It doesn't seem to have changed the results any since the last time that we played them. The 1-1 draw, they've lost 5 in a row and they've failed to score in 4 as well. So it maybe is the right time just to go and almost turn a screw on them.
Yeah, I was surprised at their form. When Stevie came in, I thought the one thing with him being a former striker as well, that they would start scoring more goals. And as you've just pointed out there, they have not scored in the last 4. So yeah, things aren't quite right, but as you've rightly pointed out, it's a great opportunity to go down there. If you can get the win, turn the screw on them and, you know, really heat the pressure on, you know, and ease our fears as well. You know, you don't want to finish in the relegation playoff or finish bottom. So it'll be a great opportunity for all things to happen.
And you mentioned the week's games coming up. February, we've got 3 home games in the league against Alloa, Airdrie and Dumbarton. So those are games that, you know, if we beat East Fife on Saturday and fail to, you know, take the points at home, it becomes a moot point. So there's a great opportunity in the next 4 games in the league that we can open up a gap on East Fife and the teams around about us as well.
Yeah, easier said than done, I know, but you know, come the start of March, you could be in a really good healthy position off and they haven't to worry about any fears or relegation whatsoever. If you pick up, we've said before, our home form's crucial in the league. The fact that we've got in 3 league games and a cup game all in 6, you know, every Saturday in February. Yeah, what a great opportunity is to come into March with a good position on the table.
And hopefully Captain Scott Brown is back again. I think his drive and determination was slightly missed on Saturday. It was obviously a very young midfield with Richie McCarthy and Grant Savory in there as well. So although we're praising how well Andy McCarthy is, I think just having Scott Brown in there as well almost complements him slightly.
Yeah, I think that's maybe why, as you said right at the start, that Simon Ferry, I know, is at centre back, but he's right in the middle of the pitch. You know, we heard him quite a lot on Saturday shouting, giving instructions, encouraging, pointing out where things weren't going right. So, yeah, that maybe played into Jim's part as well by moving Simon slightly in the centre. But yeah, as you said, Scott Brown, as we've said numerous times, when you don't hear him in midfield, you certainly lose him.
Yeah, and then obviously the options up front now becomes a lot of bit. More difficult for the manager. You know, does he play with the 2 or does he play with 3? You know, Ryan Duncan, it seems to be, he almost has to be playing that right wing position. And who do you play on the left? You know, is that where maybe Rico comes into it? Maybe he can play higher up, or as you said as well, Flynn might be able to play there. There are a lot of options for him as well. Maybe just a little bit thin again, still in the defensive side of things, but as you said, after Saturday's game, he's expecting more to come out before the window shuts next week.
Yeah, I'm sure our defender will be top of his list. You look at the squad now, it's probably the area that you are lacking a bit of cover. If you get an injury and a suspension, you know, we do become weak and it's square pegs and round holes again. But I'm sure maybe come Saturday there might be another addition through the door.
Well, hopefully there is. As you said, the window is another week to go, so you never know what happens. I think it's exactly a week Monday.
Yeah.
So a lot of business may be done on next Monday by the time that we're finished recording.
The last time we were told, in was it January? Summer window, that Jim said no, there'll be no one coming in, then he signed another three on deadline day. So yeah, things can change very quickly.
He keeps his cards close to his chest there, we'll put it that way. That will do us for this week then. Do hope you've enjoyed it once again. As always, my thanks goes to Martin for joining me. We'll be back again next week, so until then, on behalf of Martin Smith and myself, Colin Burrows, thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you all again very soon. Cheers.